Good evening, everyone. We'll get started if we could all rise for the pledge of the flag.
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Okay, Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Young.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present. Before we get started tonight, I just want to announce City Council held an executive session on Monday, March the 28th, to discuss a council personnel matter. Moving forward, approval of the minutes from February 1 of 2022. Any comments on the minutes? None. Minutes stand approved. We're going to get started with public comment, starting on any subject not being voted on this evening. Just a YouTube reminder for the audience at home, if you start this meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current, rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. If anyone signed up to speak, I will give them the floor first, and then I'll open it up to the rest of the room before turning to any call-ins. So we'll start with first public comment. We have one person signed up, and that is Tina Kazakos.
Yes.
I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, Ms. Kazakos. The lectern is all yours, ma'am. I ask you to please, your name and address for our record, if you don't mind.
It's Tina Kazakis. I live at 4th and New Streets in South Bethlehem. And I'm here on behalf of the residents and business owners, property owners with the South Bethlehem Business District. So I'm going to start. 2021 was a horrible year for everyone, being shut down for most of it. Besides that, the business district had to put up with at least a dozen of robberies, numerous muggings on the greenway, and properties being vandalized. All summer, we put up with vagrants invading the South Bethlehem Business District, intimidating, terrorizing residents, passing out on the sidewalks, vomiting, urinating human waste on sidewalks and buildings. On East 4th Street, New Street, down to Vine Street, there are 15 40-year-old wooden park benches, black with mold, green moss, vomit and urine stain from the drunken riffraff sitting on them all day. The benches have to be removed. There are no park benches on the sidewalks throughout the whole business district, but on West 4th Street, there are 15 on one block. We want them out. We've had enough. The Greenway has become a public urinal and outhouse. It's disgusting. College students robbed, beaten up, physically assaulted, sexually assaulted, intimidated, threatened to give their money up, and asked to buy drugs. Kids from Brockle Middle School walking down Vine Street and 4th Street gone by grown men passed out on the sidewalk or on a park bench. The kids do not deserve to see this type of behavior. You wouldn't want your kids to see this. Okay, so. Drinking and doing drugs out in the open, sitting on the park benches all day. It's disgusting. Customers sitting out on a restaurant trying to eat while some drunken bum is vomiting or urinating on the ground. It's not a pretty picture. This went on all summer long. Please check your police records and you will see what I'm talking about. What went on all summer was disgusting. The merchants do not want the moldy, smelly, filthy, hazardous park benches. Well, what do we do? How do we do to get rid of them? What is your idea? What do you want us to do? How can we get rid of these? I've been trying all summer to make calls to the park department, planning, mayor's office, the police chief. No calls, no nothing, no consideration for the business district at all. We need police presence during the day. We used to have a neighborhood crime watch program with the police department. That's gone. We used to have police on the beat walking the neighborhood till 9 p.m. That's gone. I was told there is one community police officer on a bicycle for all of South Bethlehem, along with one officer from Lehigh. Two police officers patrolling all of South Bethlehem. Not just the district, all of South Bethlehem. I've spoken with several police officers about the problems with the vagrants. They're doing their job. They're just as frustrated as the residents. I was told to go to city council, so here we are. We do not want another summer of hell. It was very unhealthy, degrading, frustrating, and very exhausting. This isn't a homeless problem. This is drunken thugs intimidating, threatening, scaring residents and senior citizens. Okay. There are merchants and residents that have worked with the city of Bethlehem for decades improving the business district. Never have we been ignored as we were this past year by city administration. There are problems in the business district that have to be addressed. We want to be heard and to work with city council. The property owner of three of the condemned properties on West 4th Street should be held responsible and accountable for bringing that property up to code. They're vacant, falling apart for 12 to 15 years. The properties make the neighborhood look bad. It's not fair. Others have to update for a certificate of occupancy, and these properties are not maintained by the owners. The owners, not just West 4th, but there's some on East 3rd Street also, that should be told to maintain their properties. You're giving out monies to the developers to build high rises, but the same developers are leaving condemned properties behind. It's your job to see that these properties are brought up to code. That's all I'm saying. Thank you. Oh, by the way, who's the president?
That was me.
That's what we have to look at.
every day.
Thank you for coming out, Ms. Kazakis. I won't speak for the police department nor the Community Economic Development Department, but Chief Codd is here. I don't know if you have an opportunity, if you want to speak with her in the hallway, at least maybe even to just establish contact information, and then you can further a conversation at a more appropriate time. That was the only person signed up, so I'm going to go around the room. Anyone else who'd like to speak tonight on anything that we're not voting on, we'll have the floor. I'll start on the left side of the room. Gentleman up front. And again, I ask you to state your name and address for the record, please.
John Rita, 729 Beverly Avenue. I'm curious what's being done to eradicate graffiti in Bethlehem. I know there's a graffiti hotline, which I've called on numerous occasions. Every instance of graffiti I've reported, not one of them has been eradicated. If you drive from Main Street in Bethlehem on 378 to Route 22, there's not one bridge abutment that is not completely covered with filthy graffiti. Now, the graffiti hotline told me that may be a PennDOT issue. If that's the case, the city needs to coordinate with PennDOT and have something done about it, because this city is starting to look like a miniature version of Portland, Oregon. It is disgusting, and I see the fake news media constantly has things in the news about pamphlets that are being distributed around the town, but they never even mention graffiti and the blight it is on this city. Now, I noticed the mayor isn't present. I also wanted to address him because I know he likes to do photo ops with all of his protest marches and all of that, but the main thing he accomplished when he was on city council was voting to have Christopher Columbus taken out of the Rose Garden. And I have news for you. Christopher Columbus had more courage in his pinky than all of these college professors and most of these politicians combined. So please address the graffiti, because the city is turning into a dump.
Thank you, sir. Moving on with public comment, is there anyone else on the left-hand side? Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes, sir. Right on target. So was that late? You're right on target.
All these years is what I was talking about. All these years, it's the same thing over and over. What that man was saying and that lady there is what's happening in our communities. But is there enough being done? We see construction being elevated, high rises and all that, so high and so on and so forth. They look great. But then the smaller communities are left behind, and they look like, I won't even describe the word. But the drugs, for sure. I've been talking about this for years, and I came back to talk about it again. Because if you feel tired, there's going to be folks like these two that are going to come out, and more are going to be presenting themselves here at City Council. Because we're tired. We're tired of these folks doing whatever the heck they want in our community. And something needs to be done. There is a truck, that graffiti buster truck. Don't they have one? I believe they do. Well, we're just passing winter and so on and so forth. Spring is here. I'm hoping that that will take place. And also, why not put a couple, an idea, why not put a couple of volunteers that want to do some work on the side and make our city more safer without police work involved? To clean up what these devils have, because that's what I gotta call them. All they create is mischief in our communities. We do our best to clean up behind them, but they still find another way to filthy it all up again. Every single day. I talked about those bridges when I started coming back. The Fahey Bridge, the New Street Bridge, the North Side, that new site on Main Street, it's all over. I even talked to Vice with regards to who may be the infiltrators that are causing these problems. We can't be scared of what's happening, but you can't do anything about it, but direct, and take whatever information folks like these two give you, and as little as it is, take it. It's worth $1 million just to get that targeted individual off the street. It's all over where I live also, because I've been saying that since I came back. I am frustrated, yes, because these individuals are coming back again. Chief Cott, I talked to you about this before, they're back. The very same ones that they busted, and they're back again. Same two. And now their kids are grown up. The problems that they're having on 4th Street, West 4th, East 4th, 3rd Street, it's all coming from these high-rises that they got there. Not the new ones, the old ones. These hangouts that they got on the street, sleeping on park benches, urinating, and all that kind of stuff, drugs and needles all over the place, smoking marijuana like if it was a big, you know, they freely do it on the street. I know, I'm an ex-drug addict, so I know what the heck is going on. I was there 14 years, for those that don't know me. But for you that know me, for heaven's sakes, do something about it. Because there's going to be more people coming out, I tell you. This is sickening. And it's time that you stood up for what's right. And let these folks live their lives. They struggle, let them right to put food on the table, and also see that their children are educated and well brought up. But what's happening all this is these individuals that do whatever they want. And I'm going to be a voice here at City Council each and every time because of that, to prevent these things from happening. Enough is enough. Whatever crews that you might have, please put them out. There are branches out there that are falling on streets, trees that are falling down left and right. The winds are taking them down. This is another area. By the way, Mike Elko's here. Hi, Mike. For you, sir. Maybe you can direct somebody to go on Mark Chunk Road, right at that curb before that bridge. You know that new construction site, that pathway? What somebody did was to carve out that pathway, but if you're looking up and entering that pathway, what's happening is that all those trees from the cliff on down are all falling on the roadway, on the path. Very dangerous. I saw somebody walking down there, and there's constantly people walking down there, and pipes on the roadway. Please take care of that. Okay? Because it's very dangerous, you know, when you got somebody trying to dodge, jump over something, and then create a very hazardous condition for themselves because of a very preventable situation. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Is there anyone else on the left-hand side who would like to address council this evening? I'll turn over to the center. Is there anyone in the center? And in the blue hoodie.
Hello, my name is Lisa Ronka. I live at 1110 Spring Street and on Curtis Bike Shop, Southside Bethlehem. I apologize because I don't know what is on the agenda tonight to be voted on, but I guess I am in agreement with everything. I worked at the Bond House, oh my God, 29 years ago. Or Tally Ho before that, so the South Side's changed a lot, I think, in some ways. For the good, I agree, though. I think, and that's part of my addressing, is like parking and the development. I think, in a lot of ways, I think it's wonderful what's going on. I like to see, I grew up in the area, so I like to see a lot of things revitalized, but at the same time, I see a lot of the same developers and some of the same people, just things being pushed through and done, and then you have your businesses who are around trying to, you know, just make a living and get by. I mean, we're at the shop 13 years. We had a lot of parking. Joanne, my landlord, took her family on the restaurant, the building we're in. She took care of the lots next to us. She didn't own them. She maintained them. They were clean, never had any trash, trimmed the hedges, everything looked good. Development started. The 510 flats was not supposed to be in until the parking deck was started across the street. Well, we all know that's years now. Parking deck, I think, is going to be breaking ground. So now that parking is gone as well. And then we have meters, which for some reason, the parking authority, I think they have beacons that as soon as somebody pulls in, they must be sounded, because I literally will have a customer pull up and granted, okay, they should feed it. I actually had one old gentleman though, he's on the app, because I pulled in behind him. I met him on a day we were closed. And he's like, I think I got it to work, and I put money in my meter, and we ran inside, and we were literally in there 3 minutes, and there was a parking authority outside. And I came out, and I said, what are you doing? He's like, well, I said, we're going to be a few minutes, we have to pay. I'm like, we did. Well, his meter isn't fed. And he's like, I was on the app, I thought it went through, and he legitimately did, and he was very rude about it. Like, I got very snappy, and of course, I was a little hostile, I was told, but... You know, I have a customer who's spending a lot of money at our business, which in turn we do a lot with the community. And then I see all this other development, all these other things going on, and people are double parking on 3rd Street because cafes and Starbucks, nobody even has parking. So they just, if you're going westbound, they just park and put their four-ways on in the street. You know, and in ways I don't blame them, I want to see those businesses do well as well, but... there's just no way. We just keep putting up more and more, and there's just less and less parking. I don't understand. You know, even 510 flats, I would think when you put in a building, you're supposed to have at least so much parking for that establishment or those tenants. They don't. So now they took over so that you could pay for prime parking there. Then the lot that sits, we have two lots next to our building. So the lot that sits behind, they've now numbered. So now my parents, in their 13 years, parents are in their late 70s, came to bring me a birthday card in January. They were there 15 minutes. They usually park out front. There was ice, like, built up. So my dad didn't want my mom to step over. So he didn't know any better. He pulled in the back lot, which I did not know. Maybe 15 minutes they were there. They leave. He comes running in. My car was stolen. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's, like, frantic. And I'm like, oh, my God, is Dad getting senile? Like, where's his car? And then I'm like, oh, my God, where did you park? And he's like, in the back lot. Why? There was one car in there. And I'm like, you can't park there now. He's like, you know, I got out, I think maybe somehow, I didn't think anything of it. Like, I mean, you know, 13 years, it's coming over. And it just happened a few months ago that they numbered it. How quickly? They notified him in 15 minutes to tow my parents' car to Pembroke. And I called, and after a half hour going back, they cut him a break. So instead of $300, it was only $250 for them just to bring me a birthday card for 15 minutes. I just, again, I'm not saying they were in the wrong, okay? But even then I went out and there's no signage of who to call, nothing. Just says private parking, which again, he just didn't notice because for him for 13 years, it was never like that. So then I had to call the city. Oh, do they have a Subaru Crosstrek yet? Okay, yeah, here, I'll give you the number where to call, like that too. I just feel like there's certain rules and certain things go easily for some, and then I feel like, you know, small businesses, many, not just me, I hear it all the time, like, you've got your customers driving in circles trying to find somewhere to park, and then even if they do, they're harassed immediately. I don't know what the solution is, you know, because we're running out of space. You know, my biggest worry is with that bill to the parking deck going up. I remember years ago I was told that there was a study done. So the right turn only lane to come in behind the Charter Arts School and go that way, it's not utilized. So that might be meters. I'm like, not utilized? That's the only way you can bypass getting caught on 3rd Street for a half hour to go three blocks. Everybody utilizes that to hop onto New Street and come across town. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. I hope not. Because again, that's just going to back traffic up even worse. I mean, it's backed up enough as it is. I guess that's it really for me. Mostly, again, it's just parking and just concern of, we have a lot of development. I think a lot of it's good, but I also think there should just be a little bit more thought and just a little bit more stringency put upon some of these big developers. Not everybody has all the money to push people, push everything through. And it just should be a little bit more fair and make it more, make everybody have the same opportunity to be just as successful, even for the tenants moving in. But that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a reminder, this first courtesy of the floor is whatever you want to speak about. There's nothing, it doesn't have to relate to the agenda at all. Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make comment tonight? Sir?
Anthony Spagnola, Soto Sani, 10 West 4th Street, Bethlehem. I'd like to say some positive notes. The ambassadors, I think they do a phenomenal job over there cleaning up and everything that needs to be done, directing people. I thought the city did a great job over the summer, putting out parklets, helping us out, helping us through our, you know, difficult time. And just also, I believe, out there, the city forester, but we had some trees out front, worked with us to, you know, take down the tree, put in what we needed to do, thought it was great. And that picture that was up there, that's the corner, my corner of 4th and Oak. His name's Jeff, and I'm there every day, all day, no excuses. You know, you try and help these people, and if they don't want to be helped, till you're helped, you want the help, no one can help you. They're going to go find the drugs. They're going to go walk in the syringes. I believe, personally, also, side note, Officer Rodriguez, and then it was Officer Horvath, with Officer Stokes, who's from Lehigh, our community police, Officer Horvath left, but they would stop by, talk to me, see what's wrong, see what's going on, how I can help. So that's another aspect that is being done, and I think that's great. I think Mr. Officer Rodriguez's father passed away. Unfortunately, he wasn't around, so hopefully he'll be around a little more. And just all that picture with Jeffrey, and you know, you try and direct these people. So I talk with the officers, and it's like, you know, to get to New Bethany or to get to Victory House, you know, you can't drink and you have to have a job. And how can we as a community, all of us are in it together. It's funny, so Tina has a fun house. I have Soto Sani. So are we a little part of the problem? The people coming out late at night, puking or drinking, we don't want that. I don't want that. You know, you want to have a nice, sustainable community. So that's all I got to say. But I'd like to say that there are a lot of positive things. And also, as a business, you gave us tools to apply for a grant. And you just have to do these things. There's rules. There's parameters. Follow them. And just a shame with all, everybody feels that way. You know, we can all work at things together, different aspects, parking. You know, everybody works together. Let's have solutions to the problem. Let's, you know, and I think we're doing a phenomenal job. I do. Or I wouldn't live here or have two businesses here. So thank you, and, you know, keep up the good work. It's great. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Spagnola. Is there anyone else in the center? Mr. Antalik.
Stephen Antalik's 77 Ridge. When a billionaire developer living out of state decides to make a contribution to a person seeking office in this city, and that person has real estate holdings in this city, and the contribution is 20 times larger than the average contribution, it's clear to the average person that developer is looking for positive votes on anything involving his property. Good government is never enters his mind. The Pennsylvania Ethics Commission in regard says no public official, public employee, or nominee or candidate for public office shall solicit or accept anything of monetary value, including a gift, loan, political contribution, reward, or promise of future employment based on any understanding of that public official, public employee, or nominee that the vote, official action, or judgment of the public official or public employees or nominee or candidate for public office would be influenced thereby. That's very clear. But Pennsylvania Parliament, much to the dismay of the Ethics Commission, said you're allowed to make contributions if it's during a campaign and you make a public statement of that. But then they also say that it's prudent and wise for the candidate who accepts that contribution that if it comes to a vote, they should recuse themselves only because it does not give the appearance of a conflict of interest and it shows transparency and lets the public know who made the contribution. But if a candidate, when elected, votes in a positive manner for that developer's property, a person observing that vote cannot be sure it was done in an altruistic manner. Because the person who accepts that donation or contribution understands there are strings attached. Clearly. So, and this could have negative effects. Take for example, if a vote is 4-3 in favor of the developer, and the one positive vote is a yes for the developer, if that person had recused themselves, which would have been proper, the vote would be 3-3 and it would not carry, and a public will would be maintained. So very important. So I suggest, and this happened in Bethlehem, and when that person, a citizen, questioned that vote, there was an intense exchange implying an insult. It was a fair question. So what I suggest is that someone on council propose legislation that anyone seeking office will not accept a contribution from a developer. In fact, some who have sought this office have publicly announced they have not accepted a donation just to show that they will be above conflict of interest. And if you can't do that, then minimally you can then say, if a person accepts a contribution from a developer and they are voting on that developer, they should then recuse themselves. This is about transparency and enhancing public trust in the elected official. So, I think it's very clear. On a side note, entry note, I called a number, well, I've called many, many times, it's in the city, and instead of getting in the mayor's office, I got a person answered, said, water department. I said, gee, I called the city, the mayor's office, you can't do that. I said, why? No answer. So then I said, can you transfer to so-and-so? And said, no. What do you wish? So, shall I discuss historic preservation with someone in the water department? So I said, thank you, and said goodbye. I redialed, and the person answered, police department. I said, gee, I tried to call the mayor's office, and he said, no, you can't do that. You have to deal through me. But if you want to talk to them, you can send them an email. on a national level, there's leanings changing a democracy into autocracy. Thank goodness gracious, is this happening in Bethlehem? Can we not call our mayor's office? It seems so. Well, I guess we should amend the title of Your Honor to Your Eminence.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment tonight? I see Mr. Shire coming down.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I can't resist quoting something that Mr. Antalix said about 10 years ago. He probably doesn't remember this, but I think it may have been the wisest eight-word statement ever uttered to this council. That night he said, campaign contributions have a high rate of return. When I came back to Bethlehem now 19 years ago, there was no council review of contracts. That there is now is some progress because it has an aura of transparency. Note that I didn't say transparency. I said an aura of transparency. Because to the extent the council does not know what the administration knows, it is left in the dark. And since transparency requires light rather than darkness, the council is forced to use a rubber stamp. Therefore, I would like to propose the following procedure. When factors other than cost are relevant, and the administration thus forms a committee to select one proposal, the three members of the Cognizant Council Committee should be added. The Cognizant Committee would be the committee most concerned with the subject of the procurement and would be designated by the council president. The council members of the proposal evaluation committee would participate in the discussion and would also be privy to any information that has been shared among the administration members of the committee. However, the council members would not have a vote in selecting a proposal. Only the administration members would engage in the selection. When the selected proposal is forwarded to the council, it would then first be referred to the same council committee, which would then make a recommendation to the full council in the usual manner, followed by a vote of the full council. In this way, the city council would have the information available to the administration, and there would therefore be full transparency, not merely a glimpse of it. As a Supreme Court justice once said, and Chris Bedoni is very fond of quoting this, he was once council solicitor, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment this evening? Moving on to the right side of the room, anyone to the right? Mr. Caratola?
I think I'd like to sketch out what I was going to say in this way.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola, a.k.a. J. Creek Cacrino in the entertainment world. I'm proud to have been a resident here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in the U.S. for over 73 years. Even when I lived and worked in New York City, Philly, Nashville, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama, Chicago, Atlantic City, and other large cities in my country. Hey, if God is everywhere and we're in His image, we should be everywhere as well, spreading love and peace to all others as much as we can. For the next election, I will not be running for the mayor of my city. But if God grants me to keep my health in check, I will be running into position with City Council and hopefully be an active part of the lawmaking family, all you in Bethlehem. Right now, I'm proud to say that if you look on the internet, you will find that Bethlehem, Pennsylvania was rated the sixth greatest city to live in the entire United States and is the safest mid-city sized city in Pennsylvania. I placed in the minds and hearts of all the mayors and city council members for well over the past 20 years in Bethlehem that we need to be an example for other cities because we are the Christmas City, named after the city that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was born. In Philadelphia, we also need to be an example, being called the City of Brotherly Love. Actually, wherever we live, we need to be an example and be proud of where we live and do everything that we can to make our cities great. I say this because I know that people are listening to me speak at this point in time from other cities throughout the United States, as well as cities in other countries, because I let it known to a national organization that I'm a host of called Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, that was organized in Philadelphia by my good friend Doug Payne. I have to say that wherever you live, we must all be more active, like these people who came out tonight, in our communities and speak openly at city and town council meetings so that the mayor and members of council who we elected will pass or amend articles that can and will stop gun violence and all violence on the streets and make our city more efficient. I am a citizen just like you. Many years ago, I pushed for cameras to be placed inside the traffic lights in Philly, New York City, and Bethlehem. It took over 30 years for it all to happen because I was one crazy person with a dream with no one behind me. Power is in numbers. If you don't push for motions to be voted on to amend or pass articles to make your city better, the chances are great that they won't. Or if they do, they will take a longer time and will most likely, needlessly, cost the lives of others by not acting fast enough. It greatly saddens me when I hear that people are being killed on the streets of Philadelphia and other large cities and mid-sized cities. I pushed for more working surveillance cameras on the streets of Bethlehem. Now, actually, you can't commit a crime on the streets without being on camera. I don't know how some of these people are getting away with doing illegal things on the city, because we know what they look like. Many times I forgot to roll up my windows to my van and I forgot to lock it and it wasn't violated. Also, way too many times I forgot to lock my house up when I went to bed at night or I left for the day. We have no crime in the city. Next to no crime, I should say, in the city of Bethlehem. We should plan to make it that way wherever we live. Everyone needs to get their 5 minutes in to speak at city council meetings and let their voice be heard by the people who you elected to pass the laws and articles. If you feel passionate enough about something that may help your city become more efficient and safe. As for eliminating guns, If your right to own a gun is taken away, punks who pull the guns can perform more easily unless they become within 6 feet of you. Social distancing, I guess. Then you may be able to pull Bruce Lee, Jet Li, Jackie Chan, or Chuck Norris. Punks don't care about laws unless they get locked up, hurt, and have their privileges taken away from them after they commit a crime. If the law says no guns in the city, that means everybody but them and their fellow gangsters. It just makes it easier for them to get paid. I still feel the same way about gun violence as I did when I spoke quite a while back. The mayor and council members of every city and town can put an end to it if they want. Again, I have to commend the city of Bethlehem for placing working surveillance cameras all over the city. They are definitely a plus to cut down on crime. I believe that we have more cameras on the streets and parking lots in and around public and private properties than Philadelphia has cockroaches. Every city has a right to make its own laws or eliminate crime and corruption. I spoke to representatives of Philadelphia many times recently. I'm sorry to say that it appears that most of the city's elected officials seem more interested in taking money from senior citizens and handicapped and U.S. military veterans for parking violations and illegally turning motor vehicles right on red so that they can all fatten their own bank accounts easily off the upstanding taxpayers. I know for a fact that they are guilty of this in Philadelphia. Now, the Bethlehem Parking Authority, on the other hand, will only give them a ticket if people park in one of their sacred parking lots without paying them $40 a month to park there. Now, anybody told them away. They will give out those tickets like priests and clergy give out communion on a Sunday. No matter if you're black, white, or handicapped, they're not prejudiced. So much for keeping sacred the Sabbath day. My suggestion to further eliminate violence is very easy, but the organized criminal element who pulls some of the strings and political machines in most cities will not let this rule pass because it will not benefit them. But here in Bethlehem, I know we can do it if we want to. The law could be very simple. Anyone commits a crime with a gun or any weapon is not permitted in or around the city's limits for a period of 1 year from the date of the incident after they serve their time, if they were given any time to serve. That would make it hard for them to see their loved ones, if they have any, with a PFA order placed upon them from the city where they committed a violent crime. I do have to admit that with cameras being all over and around the city and a very brave and active and uncorrupt police force, the city of Bethlehem is most likely the safest city in all of Pennsylvania to live. Let's keep it that way and do everything that we can to eliminate violence and be trendsetters for other cities to do the same. Wherever you live, pull together to make your city more efficient and safe. Because greater cities equal a greater USA, and better countries equal a better world. I'm Artie J. Creed, Curatola, a.k.a. J. Creed, D.O.D. Benedict. May God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr. Curatola. Is there anyone else on the right who wants to make comment tonight? That's everybody for our YouTube viewership at home. We'll give any call-in guests an opportunity to call in. That number is 610-997-7963. Again, that is 610-997-7963. We didn't have anyone sign up to call in this evening. It doesn't look like we're going to have any callers. We will move on to the second public comment tonight. This is for any ordinances or resolutions that are being voted on this evening. So this would be to address council in regards to anything on the agenda this evening. I'll start again on the left-hand side. Is there anyone who wants to make comment on any agenda items tonight? Mr. Rodriguez?
I got a question. Can I comment on what's happening over in Fairview and Church?
Is it something that's on the agenda tonight, Mr. Curatola? Yeah, if it's a resolution tonight, be my guest.
Somebody's glasses.
The two-way.
This is very short. I'm concerned about making Linden Street from Fairview to Church a two-way. The reason why is because we got enough troubles along that little strip alongside what we already are experiencing in the city with motorcycles, vehicles speeding left and right over way over the speed limit. You got that problem on Main Street, Broad Street, and so on and so forth. On the north side, it's all over the entire city. But not only this city, it's all over. So my concern is, if you make that Linden Street from Fairview to Church a two-way, I'm concerned that something will happen with the students where Liberty is right now. Because you got school crossings there, you got crossing guards, you got different ages, you got senior citizens, you got parents picking up and delivering or taking their children of whatever age to that school. Plus you got the neighborhood businesses around that area. That's something to really think about. Why not leave it that way? And you're making an old story into a new one, and that I don't think that's gonna work. You may do it, but it's proposing a very dangerous situation, because you never know who's gonna come at a fast rate of speed and deliver his message. I'm doing what the heck I want at whatever rate I want, and I'm gonna drive crazy, whether on drugs or alcohol, and whether they're having a rage or fit or something happened in their family structure or some mental issues that individual might have. The story is endless. You never know what that individual might have on their mind at that particular day. Driving like a maniac up and down a two-way street on Linden from Fairview to Church. I don't think that really you should do that, and I hope you really think about that right there. It's a dangerous, very dangerous situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Is there anyone in the center who wanted to make comment on anything that's being voted on tonight? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I'm pleased to see on the agenda this contract as a first step towards making Linden Street two ways. Transition, of course, could be problematic with somebody driving down there still thinking it was one way. So a great deal of care has to be taken to make sure that there's no mistaking that it's now a two-way street. That, of course, was created in my absence from the city, as it happens, along with Center Street to facilitate steelworkers coming from the north and going back home. The bigger problem is Center Street, in my experience. You all know what the problem is. There's two lanes going north, and a certain amount of jockeying for position, so that when you get to Elizabeth Avenue, there's only one lane going north. The other lane is a left turn only. And some dangerous speeds do occur there. I sometimes thinking of it as a training ground for NASCAR. And it also serves to divide the neighborhood. And I made these remarks at a meeting of the North Side Convention, whatever you want to talk about it, call it. The high speeds on Center Street do divide a neighborhood because it makes it more difficult to cross Center Street. You have to be more careful. You have to be vigilant. And that creates a mental barrier of the two sides of the street. So I hope that one day we see the same thing happen to Center Street. There's no need for that one-way race course anymore. Now, Bill Fitzpatrick told me some time ago, I think I talked to him, actually Mike after that, that's the estimate is $1.3 million to convert Center Street back to two-way. It's a lot of money, and you wonder why it would cost so much, but I think if we're talking about quality of life in a city, that's something we should bite the bullet and do. and get rid of the, if you will, the last vestige of that organization that couldn't keep itself from going bankrupt. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on something being voted on tonight? Mr. Antalis?
Stephen Antalis, very brief. I want to expand and precisely on Mr. Shire's comments. He's absolutely right. At the height of the Bethlehem Steel, people coming to work at the steel would use Linden Street. And then going home in the evening, use Center Street. With the steel no longer existing, it'd be prudent and actually wise, for many reasons, to convert both completely back to two-way. Because it's the same reason our taxes in Pennsylvania for gas are high because of the Johnstown flood. And we've paid for that 1,000 times, maybe 1,000,000 times over. So the wise move would be completely eliminate one way on both streets, regardless of cost, because safety issue, as Mr. Shire alluded to, is probably more important than dollars.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything on the agenda this evening? On the right-hand side? I will flip open the phone again for anyone who wants to call in on anything on the agenda, 610-997-7963. And for our YouTube viewership, 610-997-7963. Moving on with the agenda. Old business, any old business from members of council? Moving on, communications. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Construction Master Services LLC for the Cloverleaf Street Drainage Project. The estimated completion date is 60 days. The cost is $89,992.27, and there are no renewals.
Thank you. Resolution 10B is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Passerini & Sons Incorporated for the East Boulevard Storm Sewer Project. The estimated completion date is 90 days. Cost is $138,089, and there are no renewals.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Edward Pascola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with ACOM for the unaccounted for water study for the Bethlehem Water System. The contract shall run from the notice to proceed until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $55,200 based on time and expense not to exceed budget. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Heim Construction Company Incorporated for ADA curb ramps. The contract shall run for a period of 100 days from the notice to proceed. The cost is $652,903.96, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Pannoni Associates for the preliminary engineering design for the two-way conversion for Linden Street between Fairview Street and Church Street. The estimated completion date is July 29th, 2022. Cost is $24,163.60, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with New Enterprise Stone and Iron Company Incorporated for street overlay and curb ramps. Contract shall run for a period of 130 days from the notice to proceed. The cost is $1,829,154.20, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10I is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Lawrence Bezial, Assistant City Solicitor, with an attached resolution to support a PennVest grant request in the maximum grant amount of $2,875,000. The funds will be used for lead line replacement in the city.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, with request to rename Northeastern Road to Skyline Drive and Southeastern Road to Eastern Road, each in the city of Bethlehem. Since the 9/11 Center moved to Northampton County, the street names of North and Southeastern Roads have caused confusion as they cross into another municipality within the county. This request complies with the street renaming requirements of Council Resolution Number 12,787, and the mayor approved the name change request for submission to council.
And that resolution will be placed on the April 19th council agenda. Communication 6I.
A letter from Norris McLaughlin, PA Law Firm, representing Montclair Meat and Food Corporation, requesting approval for an intermunicipal transfer of Pennsylvania Retail Restaurant Liquor License Number R-14009. The applicant seeks approval of an intermunicipal transfer of the license, which was previously issued to Valley Pizza Incorporated, for licensing premises located at 503 Old Main Street, Walnutport, Northampton County, PA, to the new license premises located at 410 Montclair Avenue, Bethlehem, Northampton County, PA.
At this time, I'll accept a motion and then a second to schedule a public hearing on this proposed intermunicipal liquor license transfer to have the public hearing on Tuesday, April 19th at 7 p.m.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith. The clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Okay, Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. We'll have a public hearing scheduled for Tuesday, April 19th, 2022 at 7 p.m. And that resolution will then be placed on the April 19th council agenda. Communication 6J.
A memorandum from Matthew Deschler, Assistant Solicitor, requesting council consideration of a proposed ordinance amending Article 1701 in order to adopt the 2018 version of the Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code. The memo also requests a public hearing before council for the proposed ordinance.
I will accept another motion and another second for a public hearing on this proposed amendment to Article 1701 of the Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code, adopting the 2018 Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code, and we'll also schedule that for Tuesday, April 19th at 7 before the next council meeting.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Kwiatek, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
Okay, Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. So that public hearing will also be Tuesday, April 19th here in Town Hall at 7, and a bill will be on the April 19th agenda for first reading that night. Communication 6K.
A memorandum from Matthew Deschler, Assistant City Solicitor, to which is attached a proposed ordinance amending Article 157 relating to civil service.
And we'll have that bill on the April 19th agenda also for first reading. Communication 6L.
A memorandum from Lauren Spezial, Assistant City Solicitor, with an attached proposed resolution authorizing the execution of an intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the City and Lower Nazareth Township, Bethlehem Township, and Bethlehem Township Municipal Authority in connection with Lehigh Valley Trade Center 3 subdivision and land development.
Resolution 10G is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6M.
A memorandum from Kristen Wenrick, Health Bureau Director, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Health Bureau listed on the attached exhibit. The Director has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
And that resolution will be placed on the April 19th Council agenda. Finally, Communication 6N.
A memorandum from Matthew Deschler, Assistant City Solicitor, to which is attached a proposed ordinance amending Article 1733 in order to adopt the 2018 version of the International Property Maintenance Code.
And that bill will also be placed on the April 19th agenda for first reading. That concludes all of our communications for this evening. Moving on to reports, we have a couple Council Manic appointments tonight. Clerk, you read appointment 7A1.
I, Michael Cologne, do hereby appoint G. Christopher Hunt to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This appointment is effective until January 2025. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Any discussion on this appointment? I will just say I had a chance to speak with Mr. Hunt, and he expressed his strong interest in serving on the library board and wanted to be here this evening, but they have an event over at Moravian University, so he couldn't be here tonight. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Okay, Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kreetak?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The next appointment, 7A2.
I, Michael Cologne, do hereby appoint Delia Marrero to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This appointment is effective until January 2025. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Any discussion? I'll just say again, I had a chance to speak with Ms. Marrero. She had reached out at the end of last year, expressing a strong interest given her background, profession, and community involvement. And I think she's going to be another wonderful addition to the library board and an advocate of the Bethlehem Area Public Library. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kreetak?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. First of all, I just want to agree with President Cologne. I think Ms. Marrero and Mr. Hunt will both be excellent additions to the library board. They've both involved in the community for a long time, and I think they will be great additions there. We have several administrative orders. The first one is I hereby reappoint Mary Frances Stone, 1872 Homestead Avenue, Bethlehem, PA, 80018, as an alternate to the Zoning Hearing Board, and this appointment is effective through March 2027.
And the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Any discussion on the appointment? Dr. Van Wert?
I just have a general question. This is nothing about any of the specific appointments, but previous administrations have provided us with resumes of all of the reappointments and the appointments, and I looked through, but I didn't see that on our packet, and I was hoping that Mayor Reynolds would agree to continue that tradition. I think it's really important for us to have an understanding of someone's backgrounds and skills.
110%, and I was under the impression that they had been sent along with the administrative orders, and if
did I work? Should have been.
I think that I thought that they were, because I remember collecting
them. They are in there. I'm sorry, my bad. I guess I didn't see it. Okay, well, as long as we're, it's just an administrative issue. Thank you.
But 100%.
I appreciate it.
Yep.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, because I guess I was on the assumption that Mrs. Stone was going to be a regular member, because don't we have two vacancies of regular members now?
We do have two vacancies, and the administrative order, as I read, the administrative order that came to you did not say as an alternate. Mary Frances Stone is currently an alternate, and she will be reappointed as an alternate. But then the second one will be appointed to the Zoning Hearing Board.
So there will be still one vacancy.
There will be one vacancy, and there'll be another administrative order coming soon for the other permanent vacancy. But in the meantime, obviously the alternates then get called in when for any reason there's an absence among the regular membership.
Any other discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kreetak?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. I hereby appoint Donald C. Flad, 231 East Market Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, of the Zoning Hearing Board, and this appointment is effective through April 2027.
And the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Any discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kreetak?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. And I hereby reappoint Carlos A. Almeida, 2620 Main Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18017, to the Bethlehem Authority. This appointment is effective through January 2027.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kleefek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Also passes 7-0.
Thank you to City Council. And then the only other thing I would say is we were looking forward to the Chamber hosting our State of the City on Thursday. I believe most City Council is going to be attending. We're going to have about 300 people there, which is the largest one that the Chamber's ever had. So we've been working hard to present both accomplishments from the previous year as well as what we are working on now and our vision for 2022. In conjunction with City Council and our community, and we're just super excited for the event on Thursday morning. Thank you, President Clone.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. All the best in your first State of the City on Thursday.
Our first State of the City, Mr. Clone.
Thank you. We're going to move on to ordinances for final passage. The clerk will read Bill 1 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 General Fund Budget. Bill number 1, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? You call the roll.
Ms. Cranty Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will please read Bill 2 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Golf Course Enterprise Fund Budget for 2022. Bill 2, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Cranston Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Bill 3, 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 3, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Cranston Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We will read Bill 4, 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 capital budget for water utilities. Bill 4, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
The clerk will. Any discussion? Getting ahead of myself here. Clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Bill 5, 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill 5, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Any discussion from members of council? The clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The clerk will read Bill 6, 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 6, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Dr. Enix.
Discussion?
I know that this was discussed in the Finance Committee, but if it were possible for perhaps for Ms. Collins to just refresh my memory about what some of the, this is a reduction in money to various agencies in the city, and are these just you know, because the money isn't being spent or because, you know, if you could just refresh my memory, I apologize.
Sure. It's actually not a reduction. It just reflects the spend from the time the budget was put together in October through December. So they're just amendments that, you know, put everything back in line for through the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you very much. I knew it was not, that, you know, it wasn't the case that we were pulling money from agencies that needed it very much. I just wanted to make sure that I had it straight, so I appreciate that.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Galone?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to new ordinances, we have one on the agenda tonight. The clerk will read Bill 7 of 2022.
Okay. An ordinance of the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, and Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, determining to incur debt in the principal amount of not to exceed $50 million, determining that such a debt shall be incurred as lease rental debt to be evidenced by a series or subseries of guaranteed water revenue bonds, series of 2022 or such other designation as may be appropriate, to be authorized and to be issued by Bethlehem Authority, briefly describing the projects for which said debt is to be incurred and specifying the realistic and remaining useful lives of said project financed and refinanced thereby, authorizing and directing the mayor, the president of council, the city controller, the city treasurer, the business administrator, or the city clerk of the city to prepare, verify, and file, as applicable, the debt statement and other appropriate documents required by the Local Government Unit Debt Act, 53 PA CS 8001 et sic, as amended and supplemented, and upon receipt of approval of the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development to execute a test, acknowledge, and deliver, as appropriate, a ninth supplemental contract and lease between the authority as lessor and the city as lessee, supplementing a contract and lease dated as of January 1st, 1992, as heretofore amended and supplemented between said authority as lessor and the city as lessee, and a guarantee agreement with respect to aforesaid bonds, approving the forms of said ninth supplemental contract and lease and said guarantee agreement, consenting to the assignment of said ninth supplemental contract and lease by the authority as security to the Bank of New York Mellon as trustee under a trust indenture dated as of January 1st, 1992, as heretofore supplemented and amended, and as further supplemented and amended by a seven supplemental trust indenture, and authorizing delivery of said guarantee agreement to said trustee, specifying the maximum lease rentals to be paid by the city pursuant to said ninth supplemental contract and lease, and the source of payment of such lease rentals, guaranteeing payment of the principal of and interest on aforesaid bonds, and making certain covenants with respect thereto, specifying the maximum amount of the guarantee obligations of the city pursuant to such guarantee agreement, pledging the full faith, credit, and taxing power of the city with respect to the guarantee agreement, and providing for proper officers of the city to take all other required, necessary, or desirable related action in connection with said project, said ninth supplemental contract and lease, and said guarantee agreement. Bill 7, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Thank you, Mrs. Kelshaw.
Thank you.
Any discussion on the ordinance? First, Dr. Enix?
I just have a question. Is that now?
Okay. Yeah.
As Mr. Sivak explained to me that this page, page nine, is hypothetical situation, and I was looking at the numbers after a while and thinking, like, the first six payments are relatively small, but then the next five, I don't know if it's a proper terminology to say bulge, but the five payments are very large. And then at the end, the last 10 payments go back down. Does anyone understand why that is?
Mr. Chair, do you have something like that?
perhaps I can just make a brief statement about the whole effort here, and I can turn it over to Scott Shearer, who's our financial advisor with PFM. So, as discussed in the Finance Committee a few weeks ago, this is a refinancing effort for the city's water bonds, and it's a two-part financing strategy. One is to refi the existing 2014 bond, of which there's approximately $29 million in outstanding principal. We're going to take advantage of lower interest rates currently to refinance that, and the city will realize a certain amount of savings from that refinancing over the period remaining in the bond. The second piece is then we're going to parlay those savings, if you will, and borrow additional money, another $10 million or so, to help fund the water capital program for the next several years. All told, the goal is to save money in the refi, borrow additional money, while maintaining our annual debt service payments roughly the same. And Scott can talk about that structure that Dr. Enos was kind of getting at, about how those debt payments are scheduled over time to try, where you have multiple bond issues being paid at the same time, but you structure them so that your total payments each year are roughly equal for a period of time, and until those bonds start to be amortized. So with that, I'll turn it over to Scott, who can get into some of more of the details about how that works.
Okay, well, thank you. Good evening. So I think page 9 that you're referring to is from this handout here that was in your packet. And this is always an interesting schedule. This is called the maximum parameters schedule. So this is, I'll say, for lack of a better word, not really a real schedule. This needs to be submitted to the state for filing purposes. As we just heard, the refunding itself is probably going to be around $30 million. The new money is going to be about $10 million. We can only borrow new money for what we reasonably expect we can spend within 3 years. And so based on all the calculations and the planning and the models that the authority has been doing, it again generates about $10 million of capital needs for the system over the next 3 years or so. So again, the total transaction size we're looking at is roughly $40 million. But for state filing purposes, we have to inflate it, and usually that buffer is about 20 to 25% of the actual size we're looking to issue. So that's how we get from $40 million to $50 million. It has a maximum interest rate in there as well in column 3 of 5.5%. We know we're going to be substantially less than that, but again, from a parameter standpoint, when we actually go to price the transaction, which won't be till later in May, we need to make sure that the interest rates that we finally lock in, like I said, later in May, is less than that 5.5% that's in column 3. We also need to make sure that not only in total that our final issue amount that we do is less than this $50 million, but in actual every year as well, we need to make sure we're less than what's in the schedule so that the transaction can effectively go through. So as Mr. Brascola put it very, very well, that the amortization looks a little odd, where you see the smaller payments up front in column 2 and then some of those bigger payments. But that really, it all fits together like a puzzle when you look at all the other outstanding debt of the city. And we need to make sure that when you look at all the debt in totality that's being paid by the city, that it's either level on an annual basis or decreasing. That when you look at things in totality and put the puzzle together, there can't be any big blips, say more than 10% of the annual debt service out there. So this is just a kind of a picture of this schedule or this financing at maximum amount, but when you piece it all together with everything else, it's going to look overall, okay. Overall level. Yeah.
Okay, that's better. Thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I would just ask briefly, Mr. Shearer, you explained, we're looking at $29 million of refinancing $29 million, and then $10 million of new money for capital projects.
Yeah.
Correct. And then the debt service will remain pretty much the same of what we're looking at currently with the new refinancing and new $10 million.
Pretty close, yeah. I mean, the refunding itself, why don't we just quick turn to page 6 of that same handout. So this schedule, I believe, is identical to what we had discussed at the Finance Committee back a few weeks ago. So the market has changed. So more than likely, we will update this schedule when we come back, if this is moved to the second reading in 2 weeks. We'll come back and update things. Savings are probably a little bit less than what we're showing here, just because, again, there's a lot of volatility in the market, and we have seen long-term rates increase a little bit. But with the refunding in the blue, if yours is in color, it's basically column 5. We'll look at that. That right now, with these estimates of savings that we had in there, the savings were going to occur on the refinancing portion over the life of that transaction. So the 2014 bonds currently go out to 2032, and the same maturity is going to be realized with this piece. But sometimes the city is taking savings up front, say in the first years or first 2 years, sometimes taking the savings over the life of the transaction. Here, we're looking at taking the savings over the life of the transaction, and again, not extending the maturity date. Then when you layer on the new money, well, again, $10 million in the green, which is column 7, that's roughly about $300,000 impact of annual interest expense that's being spun up. So then over in column 8, the kind of the max run rate of annual debt service for the water, just the water debt now, is about $8.6 million. And before this transaction, it was about $8.5 million if you look over in column 4. So in kind of a round number, it's very close to what's currently being paid on the debt, but because we are borrowing a little bit more new money, it is going to increase that annual run rate a little bit. Now, what the authority has been, authority and city have been planning now for some time with a lot of planning, is not only looking at this financing, this refunding, and new money needs, but also looking out, like I said, over basically a 10-year period, and layering on any other potential financing that may occur 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years down the road. And there's other monies being released from the indenture from this transaction over time that is going to help keep the borrowings down, that maybe we won't need to borrow as much. But really the bogey that we're looking at is keeping that annual debt service that you see over in the far right-hand column of about $9 million or less when you factor in, again, not only this borrowing, but the next 2 or 3 potential borrowings over the next 2 years if they all come to fruition. So we're looking at this transaction obviously very specifically, but there's also a lot of future planning involved too to make sure the rates stay reasonable for the ratepayers here within the city and the other customers that it serves.
Thank you, Mr. Scheer. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments from members of council?
This is really more for the people at home, but I just want to clarify. The debt that we would be approving for the authority tonight is taxpayer-backed debt. It's where our citizens are on the line if, for some reason, we can't pay these back. However, this is a very solid deal for the city to make because this is backed by a pretty rock-solid revenue stream. In addition to it being very well-run historically over time, it's also backed by a revenue stream of the monies everybody, including people who are not citizens of Bethlehem, pay for water, basically. So in terms of, like, us agreeing to float debt, it's kind of different than, say, the parking authority or other authorities that were historically created so they could leverage their own debt. They can leverage debt with revenue bonds as well, but they choose not to in this case because revenue bonds are more expensive, and this is a better interest deal if you can use something like city-backed debt. So
absolutely, 100% true. And these will be called guaranteed revenue bonds. So because of kind of that double barrel security.
Okay.
Yep. But everything you said is absolutely correct.
Just kind of putting a general overview of framework of what we're doing here tonight. Okay. Thank you very much. So.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Thank you, Mr. Scheer, for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, and as such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with St. Luke's University Health Network for the 2022 Boutique at the Rink. From May 4th, 2022 to June 6th, 2022, it may be extended to June 11th, 2022 if needed. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. It passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or other such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Construction Master Services LLC for the Cloverleaf Street Drainage Project. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. It passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Passerini & Sons Incorporated for the East Boulevard Storm Sewer Project. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller, and under such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with AECOM for the unaccounted for water study for the Bethlehem Water System. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller, and of such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Heim Construction Company Incorporated for ADA curb ramps. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion?
I just wanted to clarify, I guess, for my own knowledge, because 6D, or I'm sorry, I'm looking at 10F and then 10I, they're both for ramp, for ADA ramps, and I was just wondering why they're two different companies. Are they?
Two different bids.
Okay.
One bid covered ramps that are in support of both our in-house paving as well as contracted work, and one was combined with paving for a contract.
So they both are both companies going to be doing the ADA ramps? Though?
Yeah.
The both? Okay. I guess I'm just still a little confused why two companies are doing them instead of just one. Like, would it have been more efficient to have just one, or is it going to be more cost efficient to have the two? Or are they doing different things as far as the ramps?
There were two separate bids, and that's what happened to secure the bids.
So we put two different bids out for the ramps?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Now therefore be it resolved on this fifth day of April 2022 that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem approves and ratifies the payment of project costs on an interim basis using its water funds until the proceeds of the PennVest funding agreement are received. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Now therefore be it resolved on this fifth day of April 2022 that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem approves and ratifies the Intergovernmental Cooperation Agreement between the City and Lower Nazareth Township, Bethlehem Township, and Bethlehem Township Municipal Authority. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Dr. Allen?
I just had a question about this contract. What predicates a contract being necessary? Like, I guess I just don't, what size, is it size? Is it gallons? Like, what makes it necessary for us to approve this contract?
In this case, it has to do with the transfer of the allocation from one township to another. So we have intermunicipal agreements with all of our contributing municipalities that send sewage to the city for treatment at the wastewater treatment plant. So there's at least a dozen of these out there. And they define, you know, terms of service, how much flow we anticipate, what those, you know, how the fees are assessed, and so forth. And there are situations where sometimes the flow flows from one municipality through a second municipality and then to the city. So there are intermunicipal agreements between those two municipalities and then also with the city, because in this case the flow is coming from Lower Nazareth to Bethlehem Township to the city. And this has to do with one the development, if you've heard about in the paper recently at the old Dutch Springs recreation area with the quarry. They're going to build warehouses there. The township line bisects the property. There's going to be a warehouse in Lower Nazareth, a warehouse in Bethlehem Township. The sewage from the one warehouse is in Lower Nazareth, comes to Bethlehem Township. Long story short, it's about agreeing between the parties to make sure that all the conditions are such that the roles and responsibilities are defined and who's billing who. So Bethlehem Township bills Lower Nazareth, we bill Bethlehem Township, and it all, because it all comes our way anyway. So
if this was like a great big facility being built in Bethlehem, we probably wouldn't.
Correct.
We wouldn't have it. It was just because.
Correct. It would be our direct customer.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all my questions.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Guida?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Dr. Mena? Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Pannoni Associates Incorporated for the preliminary engineering design for the two-way conversion of Linden Street between Fairview Street and Church Street. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion from members of council? Ms. Queen?
I just wanted to say that I think this is potentially a very exciting development, that it will actually be better for the neighborhood. It will calm traffic. It will improve street traffic for the businesses along Linden Street, and I think will in the end turn out to be a great thing for the city if we're able to make it happen. So I'm excited to vote for it.
Thank
for
you.
The study.
Any other questions or comments, Dr. Van Wert?
I completely agree. I just wanted to kind of bring another frame of reference, again, not necessarily for the people in this room, but in 2009, an urban planner named Jeff Speck did a great study for the city, and I really encourage anybody who's interested in these type of things, how to make a city work better for the people who live in it, to read this study. It's called The Livable City, and it's available on our website, and there's a lot of really good recommendations that I hope we will begin to adhere more to, and this is a good first step in doing that. And one of the things that he recommended was indeed this traffic calming measure to take Center, Linden, and Church back to two-way streets, because one-way streets are very convenient at mill exit times, but they're not very good for the people who live on the street, for the people who walk on the street, and for the businesses who are there. So I think this is a great step, and I look forward to seeing what the recommendations are. Thank you.
Thank you. And any other questions or comments from members of council? I have one brief question before I turn it over for Mayor Reynolds and Mr. Alcohol. This was something that was asked for by the neighborhood, or
neighborhood residents, business owners, correct, in discussions that have been going on now for some time. Out of those discussions came this idea, or at least supported this idea, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's been something in the neighborhood for a long time. I know when I first walked to school in 1986 down Linden Street, it was a problem at the time as well, because what you end up having is you have a street that as the employment of Bethlehem Steel declined, the need for necessarily moving cars, especially through this area, declined. So then what you end up having is a few cars that go very fast. And Center Street is, and I'll talk about Center Street in a minute, but Center Street's different because how much traffic is moving through the city along Center Street, from the south side, out Center Street, out through Hanover Township and things like that. But Linden Street doesn't necessarily have that same type of traffic pattern. So as we all know, for years, you've seen a few cars that can go very fast. And for all the reasons that Dr. Van Wert and Councilman Kwiatek mentioned, it did come up over and over and over again in all of our North Side meetings over the last several years. Same thing with Center Street. Center Street is more expensive, but one of the things that has been talked about for ages, when anybody ever walked to Thomas Jefferson, was the idea that Linden Street there, from Fairview all the way down to Church, essentially divides the neighborhood. People don't want to let their kids cross. It just gives very negative energy. It's, as far as, there's a lot of commercial business along that stretch, that obviously, as every study shows, commercial business, retail business on one-way streets, it's not the same as having cars driving slower in the other direction and things like that. While we're here, Linden Street to turn into two-way is probably, and these are estimates, and engineers hate estimates, but these are estimates, it is about 40 to 50% of the cost of turning Center Street into a two-way street. And Center Street is it's longer there. It goes all the way down to Elizabeth Avenue. But it also, you have more street lights, which means you have more curb ramps and all these other things that I've learned that you painfully have to do when you're going through this particular process. Part of the reason why we're doing this engineering, though, is because, as Mr. Alcohol will tell you, on the PennDOT kind of regional transportation plan, having something like the engineering done for a project helps to move your project up the list as far as the priority is concerned. So when PennDOT funding, Lehigh Valley kind of transportation funding is looking at this, if your community or your municipality has already paid for things like the design and the engineering of it, then it's almost thought of as a more serious project. So I think the last estimate that we had is $1.3 million for Linden Street, correct? Yeah, $1.2 million. Our goal is to try to get that done as soon as possible, and that becomes a lot easier as far as the design is concerned. Center Street, just being honest, is going to be a difficult thing. I mean, that's closer to $4 million, I believe, is the estimated cost to do it, but it's got the same problem in that part of the neighborhood. And I agree with Mr. Shire and the gentleman in the front row, is that it is important for the neighborhood going forward, because that's another one. And we'll talk about Broad Street in the next month on the west side and on the east side. But these streets just divide these neighborhoods, and they really, really affect the quality of life and what you see as far as crossing the street. So we are working on them. And when, you know, we have talked before about last year with the Broad Street kind of like walking plan. And there is some infrastructure that's planned as well between Center, and I believe it's up to Wall or High, that is really going to start to try to put the pieces together in this neighborhood as well to improve the walkability and the infrastructure. So that's just some other things I wanted to add there.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Round. Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
And Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-I.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with New Enterprise Stone and Lime Company for street overlay and curb ramps. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-J.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, a Bethlehem resolution is hereby granted for 331 Broadway to remove the aluminum plate and the existing sign box and replace the former 144-inch by 24-inch sign face with a new one of the same size. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Clancy Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. And finally, Resolution 10-K.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Tad J. Miller is hereby appointed City Clerk, effective April 5th, 2022. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Before I open it up to discussion, Mr. Miller has joined us this evening. At our last City Council meeting, we had announced that our City Clerk, Mr. Vidoni, was going to be leaving the Council office and moving on to a different position here at City Hall. And we were very happy. I won't speak for my other colleagues. I'll let them express their thoughts in a moment. But I'm happy to welcome Mr. Miller to the Clerk's office. And looking forward to him joining us. I also thank his family for agreeing to lend him us on these Tuesday evenings and all the committee meetings and everything like that. Just like every family of members of council, it's a commitment from the mayor's office and staff to council members, to the clerk staff, and Mrs. Calachava, our assistant city clerk, who joined us this evening. So it's no small task, and I thank Mr. Miller for his interest in the position, and again, looking forward to having you joining us up here at the next council meeting. Any other discussion or comments from members of council?
I just wanted to say that we had the opportunity to review many resumes, and I just feel so fortunate that we have a candidate with such relevant experience and who comes so highly regarded by so many members of this administration. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for your confidence.
Any other questions or comments, I should say? Well, we'll call the roll.
I just wanted to say I'm very happy to have you with us. I'm not to terms with Robert leaving us yet, but I'm very excited to work with you. I'm looking at your resume. I'm very confident that you're definitely the right choice.
Any other comments from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. That concludes our agenda. Any new business? Dr. Van Wert?
I just wanted to be kind of just to keep the citizens and the rest of council informed. The mayor kindly asked me to be part of the committee to review respondents to an RFP for an affordable housing study on what Bethlehem can do. There is an RFP put out, and I'm just really giving everyone kind of a very low-key update on this so you can all know what I know. There were four respondents. We had an hour plus long Zoom meeting about the four people who responded, and one was eliminated, and on Friday we will be interviewing the other three. And there's how many people are on this? Nine?
Almost 11.
11. And basically we're going to ask questions and see who really fits the best need for this city, and go on from there. I'm just a member of the task force. I don't have any other responsibility, but I just thought everybody would like to know kind of what the progress is that the city's making. If there's something you would like to say about it, please do. I just wanted to say that I'm on it, and if you have any questions or concerns, I'm happy to talk to you individually.
I would just add to that, as Dr. Van Wert said, is the kind of goal is to help have somebody come in and study our particular housing market, to take a look at what particular strategies as far as affordable housing are concerned are the best for the market in Bethlehem. And not just with potential use of affordable or of ARPA dollars, but also just how we necessarily structure our programs going forward. Because well-meaning programs, whether or not they're first-time home buyer programs or whatever they might be, there's a practicality to them that's the most important thing. And as I've said many times, for example, it's hard to build standalone affordable housing units in the city of Bethlehem because there's not a lot of open land. And since there's not a lot of open land, it becomes very expensive. So like the cost per unit, those type of kind of practical things that we're thinking about is how to best spend whatever dollars we have, what are those partnerships that we have that we should be focused on going forward, and also just what should people be focused on in the jobs, whether or not it's housing coordinator and things like that. Those are multi-million dollar decisions, which is why it is a long-range kind of housing strategies plan. And we obviously truly appreciate Dr. Ann Wirt's participation, as with many other people throughout the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Dr. Van Wert again.
Additionally, there's going to be a community development committee meeting on Tuesday, April 12th at 5 p.m. to discuss housing and development issues.
Thank you. Any other new business? Dr. Ann?
This is something I prepared. It's good things about Bethlehem. In memory of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it was April 4th, 1968, 54 years ago, when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. I was a college student at the time in Washington, D.C. I remember the events of that day and the riots that followed vividly. I had heard Dr. King in person on several occasions, and believe me, Dr. King spoke eloquently about many places, people, and things, not just about the content of one's character. For example, he spoke about not sleeping through the revolution in the sermon he delivered at the National Cathedral in Washington just a week before his assassination. Dr. King reminded us on that occasion of the often overlooked social reality embedded in the story of Rip Van Winkle. When Rip Van Winkle went up into the mountain, a sign had a picture of King George III of England. When he came down 20 years later, the sign had a picture of George Washington. Things were different, all right. In effect, Rip had slept through a revolution. He slept through changes that altered the course of history. Dr. King's point was, as he quoted was, one of the great liabilities of life is that all too many people find themselves living amid a great period of social change, and yet they fail to develop the new attitudes, the new mental responses that the new situation demands. They end up sleeping through a revolution, unquote. The revolution today is more of an evolution in technology, demography, and society. In just this past 8 days in Bethlehem, we have experienced evidence of our society's evolution. 8 days ago, on March 27th, 2022, the Bethlehem branch of the NAACP held its 77th annual Freedom Fund banquet at Green Pond Country Club. 155 residents of Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley attended. Our Mayor Reynolds, our Congresswoman Wild, State Senator Boscola, State Representative Samuelson spoke to the assembled group, while State Representative McNeil, Council President Cologne, Council Vice President Cramsey Smith, and I were in attendance. Dr. Harrison Bailey, principal of Liberty High School, and Mrs. Thomasine Nickens, a former Bethlehem Area School District educator, were recognized for their achievements, dedication, and advancements in education. Assistant City Solicitor Marilyn Shields was the speaker. It was an afternoon of feasting and brotherhood, bringing together black and white churches and fraternal organizations, about 10 or 12 administrators from the Bethlehem Area School District, Lococo, members of the Baha'i faith, members of the Jewish faith, just to name a few. It was equity and inclusion are certified. Then, on Thursday, March 31st, 2022, we had the flag raising for the celebration of Transgender Day of Visibility. City Council members Leon, Quiatic, Wilhelm, and I attended, and several of our dedicated City Hall colleagues took time from their busy day to attend. Mayor Reynolds and Janine Santoro spoke on this occasion. Transgender Day is meant to honor trans people who are fighting for freedom too, equality, dignity, and respect. We in Bethlehem recognize that transgender people are our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, our family, and our loved ones. This day was equity and inclusion personified. Then on this past Sunday, April 3rd, 2022, to commemorate the assassination of Dr. King, the Bethlehem Community Advisory Board held a demonstration outside of the Bethlehem Public Library and a march around City Hall to protest the hate literature that has been distributed in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is no place for hate. Once again, Mayor Reynolds spoke, Representative Samuelson and Vice President Cramsey Smith, a person from the ACLU, and people from the Pennsylvania Board of Human Relations, as well as many others. Once again, we demonstrated that equity and inclusion is personified in our beloved Bethlehem. And we were again reminded of Dr. King's admonition. One of the great liabilities, he said, of life is that all too many people find themselves living amid a great period of social change, and yet they fail to develop the new attitudes, the new mental responses that the new situation demands. They end up sleeping through a revolution. Let us all vow to remember that Martin Luther King Jr. spoke about much more than the content of one's character. Let us all vow that we in Bethlehem will develop the new attitudes, the new mental responses that the new situation demands, and that should we not end up sleeping through a revolution like Rip Van Winkle did, and that we will recognize that equity and inclusion is personified and that Bethlehem is no place for hate, in memory of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Thank you, Dr. Mm-hmm. Anything else for new business this evening?
Just briefly, as in my role as liaison, I attended a meeting of the Redevelopment Authority, a meeting of the Bethlehem Housing Authority, and I also attended the Lehigh Valley General Assembly, which was held a few days ago. I've lost track of time. And during that, we heard from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. They gave a big overview of the transportation funds and some of the plans. And I would just like to say, in my opinion, there's such an emphasis on widening roads and, you know, more and more and more driving and traffic. And there was very little about walkability, about alternate means of transportation, about, you know, things that are better for our communities and our planet. So I am glad to be here in Bethlehem where that's a priority. but it was a little disheartening as someone who you know, loves our city and believes in these principles, to go to something regional and be reminded that there are a lot of forces at work that will continue to encourage an unsustainable way of life. I wanted to thank you so much for speaking so eloquently about the Transgender Day of Visibility flag raising. I want to thank the mayor and the administration for getting a flag, for making it possible. It meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to my daughter for us to be able to be there. In the paper, it apparently said that we were the first to raise our flag, so that gives us a little bit of edge on Allentown, who also raised a flag, but we got ours up first. So. And then finally, I just wanted to say, I'm always listening in public comment. I hear every word that you all say. And I'm sorry that our friend who's concerned we're turning into Portland isn't here to hear this as well. But I want to reassure you that we are not rubber stamps. We get these packages every week. We read through every single one of these. We call and email folks from the city and ask a lot of questions before we ever get here, and then you see that we also ask questions once we're here. I think there's a tremendous amount of work going on, and I don't know if what we're hearing is a reaction to, you know, past councils, past administrations, concerns that we're going to go down that same path. I just want to say from my perspective, you know, being very transparent, you know, there's a lot of time spent looking into each one of these contracts and the issues and the questions that we have about them, so that when we make these votes, you know, most of the time they are yeses, but that doesn't mean that it's a rubber stamp. It means that the administration, the folks who work in the city, have done a lot of due diligence, multiple bids, many other things. There has been a tone at times of accusation, an insinuation of corruption that I hear in some public comments. It's not just one person. Tonight it felt like it was in the ether. I hope that that is not directed at any of us, because I feel strongly that, you know, we are seven people of strong integrity, and I think that we're all working to do what's best for the city. So I don't know if these are comments that are allowed during new business, but they were on my mind. But again, I'm always listening, and if you see me looking down, it's because I'm taking copious notes, everything you say. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Ramsey's.
Thank you, Councilman Cuita, because I think it was very well said, and my thoughts exactly.
Anything else for new business tonight?
Mr. Clone, can I just add one quick thing to Ms. Kwiatek's comments? Is I think increasingly, as I spend more days in this job, I think that I would encourage everybody, every one of these regional opportunities, to sit down and talk to people, to look at what's going on outside of the city with these regional things. The things that we care about in the city that we spend time talking about, homelessness, affordable housing, transportation, all of these different issues, the solution, as much as anything, is going to come down to regional cooperation. And the bottom line is, as we know, both from a, I don't know if ideological is the word, but from a lot of planning decisions, is that we are not in a silo here. So when we take a look at our housing market, and we take a look at affordable housing, we in the city of Bethlehem, if we care about the price of housing, and we should be rooting for housing to be built in areas where it can be built, because that will drive down the market. When we're talking about homelessness, which we are going to talk about on Thursday, and we're going to talk about a lot in the next couple months, that is a regional problem. And there needs to be regional solutions and regional leadership. So I applaud everybody in City Council that goes to any plan. We have a Planning Commission meeting, any of those things. We try to get to many of them as possible, but I'm just being honest. Many of our challenges in the city, it's going to come down to our ability to cooperate on a regional level, because a lot of the things that we care about the most here are regional issues that know no bounds, and that we need to both work with people outside of the city and in some ways persuade and convince them that it is also their problem, and that it is also a moral issue as far as the things that are affecting the city. And regionally is the way that we need to think more and more about those issues. And I wanted to thank you. And I know several people here try to participate in those initiatives, and part of our success is going to come down to how successful we are at having those regional partnerships and conversations. Thank you, Mr. Kloon.
Thank you, Mayor Ramos, for that insight. Any other comments from members of council tonight? Get home safe, everyone. This meeting's adjourned.